In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Well, summer break has now come to all of the students of Big Bear. Is that true, Tyler? Or Dylan, is that true? Summer break has come, even for the homeschoolers. Or at least most students. For most of the students, whether college, homeschool, or the other schools in town, school is now followed by break or vacation. And whether you call it break or vacation, it equals freedom. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, amen, that's right. But not for all. For some, school, which sounds like captivity, is now followed by summer school, which sounds like more of the same. More continued captivity, maybe you would even use harsher words for it still, torture or something of the like. For we long to be free, don't we? And that includes free from school, which has all of its laws and its rules and its codes. It has codes of behavior. It has codes of measurement for accomplishment. And it teaches us further about laws, doesn't it? The laws of math. The laws of the created world around us. Political law, cultural laws and norms, spelling laws and grammar laws. Anybody struggle with both of those last two, spelling and grammar? Me. Laws, laws, laws. Everywhere, laws and orders and curbs and boundaries and rules. Summer school doesn't sound like much fun, does it? I hate to tell you, but our text for this morning lands every last one of us back in summer school. We are the people of the towns and the villages there in the first verse of Matthew chapter 9 that we read today. We are in the synagogue, the place of teaching. Class is in session again. All right? And the topic at hand normally at synagogue is the Word of God, which is to say the Torah, the law of God. Do this and don't do that. We could even look at something like Leviticus 20:26, which gets to the sharp, pointy end of the law. It says this, God says this, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. How does that sound to you? God saying to you, you are to be holy as I am holy. In fact, earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus himself, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, beautiful sermon, but actually a lot of law there, Jesus himself sums this up. Are you ready? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Summer school's in session. How are you doing? And let me tell you, my fellow students, that stuff right there, the be holy as I'm holy and be perfect therefore as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's some sturdy, hard-hitting stuff. That's the principal's paddle of yesteryear that some of us got on our rears. Anybody? I did. I lived in that day and age, maybe at the very end of it. That's the teacher's yardstick across your knuckles. Maybe somebody else will fess up to that one also. School is law. The law demands equal pain for people like me, people like you, students like us. Where we're consistent as students, aren't we? Constantly falling short. So we are most certainly in for it this morning then, dear class, dear church, because as I've said, school is in session. We are with the people of the towns and the villages. It is the day where we gather in the synagogue, the place of teaching, school's in session, school equals law, the law demands, the demands of the law equals pain. That's the setup. But of course, I've already left off the most important thing that began our text this morning. Our text began like this, two words, and Jesus. And Jesus went throughout all of the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. There's a new teacher in town, and his name is Jesus. I'm kind of skipping way far ahead, but if we were to continue on in the book of our epistle, the letter of our epistle, Romans, and skip to Romans chapter 10, This is what Paul has to say about this Jesus. He gets right to it and suggests Jesus will be a teacher unlike all the other teachers you ever had. He says this, "For this Christ Jesus is the end of the law for the sake of righteousness to everyone who believes." Could this Jesus, in fact, be that different? Oh, school is in session again. And yet, this is not like anything we've ever seen before. For Jesus was, and now we pick up our text, he was teaching in their schools and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, dear friends, oh, dear classmates, this is a new day and a new word with a new teacher. He does not come like Moses came with demands. He comes with gifts. God's kingdom, for one. Come to us, undeserving as we are. Did you hear the epistle text? Every once in a while, somebody will die for another, if he's a good enough person. But will any of us die for someone we know to be categorically wicked? And yet here comes the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus to undeserving people like us. And the gifts continue. Healing and compassion for the helpless ones, us like sheep without a shepherd. And as if that were not enough, Jesus then continued in the text. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into that harvest." And even as Jesus suggests that that be their prayer, he doesn't much wait around, does he? But the text goes on and says, "And he called then to himself his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Pray, Jesus says, for servants in the harvest." And then he calls those servants right away. "And these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritan, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without pain, go without pay.'" Momentarily here, the mission is narrow to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but we will not get to the end of the book of Matthew without that mission broadening. Before Matthew is out, in fact, right there in the closing verses of Matthew 28, the Great Commission, as we call it, Jesus will then send out those same apostles, send out his gospel through his servants to all the nations, which is good news for Gentiles like us. And what is the mission of God's apostles through Jesus? Did you notice here that it's not to sow seed, but it's to gather a harvest that's ready? The Apostle Paul, on a different occasion, will talk about seed and sowing it. But that's not our text today. Here, Jesus doesn't describe us as seed, but describes us as a harvest ready to be gathered. If Sunday morning were just about seed sowing, then we would all leave, I think, with a bit of fear and trembling, or maybe a great deal of it. The preacher would give out a kernel of the law. "God's given you a little something, dear church." And the preacher would leave you with a lot of questions. What are you going to do with this kernel? What are you going to do with this seed? Will you treasure it? Will you plant it? Will you water it? Will you nurture it? Will you, I think all of those questions lead up to this, will you cause it to grow? And the subtext will be that only time will tell, and that the preacher will be watching, and that God will be watching, and you better get yourself to work. Lord, help me if you are only casting seed into my life and the rest is up to me. Then summer school is truly in session, perpetually in session. The law with its demands are ever before me, which equals pain for me and for us, as we constantly foul even that up. But Jesus does not describe it as the casting out of seed, he says that the harvest is plentiful and it is ready. Jesus describes here the harvest, and you are the harvest. And by his will, by his words, by his death and his resurrection, by his servants bringing all of this to you, he has gathered you to himself. He has done this once for all, and he does it every last day. He did it in your baptism and every day since then. He's done it again this morning in the absolution for you, and he will do it again soon before the service is out with his supper. And when he gathers you, he casts out unclean spirits. The kingdom, the peaceful kingdom of God through the Father, by way of Christ his Son, now comes to you. Your sin sickness is healed, and you will be raised on the last day. And as if all of that were not enough, having received all of this from God through Jesus, without your pain for it, you are now his new creation, his new person, his new man, his new woman, his new son, his new daughter, who give to others the same gifts that have been given to you. Christ paid for them, you did not. Christ paid for them and gave them to you. They are so richly upon you that now you give them to others also without pay. Jesus arrives on the scene today as a teacher. And teacher means school. And school, almost every last time, it means demands and captivity. And demands equals pain for people like us. That's the old way. But Jesus now arrives today, a teacher the likes of which we've never had before. He does not bring captivity, but he brings freedom and life. And this teacher apparently also is a farmer who gathers a harvest unto himself, a church, a people, you and me, and so many more even this day. This teacher is certainly a great teacher. Teacher is one of his titles, but his titles also include this, gracious Lord and gracious God, and so he is. And so finally, today on Father's Day, we will look around the room and we will say Happy Father's Day to many, even to Corey Barnett when we first see him next week, as this is his first Father's Day. And yet on this Father's Day, the greatest thanks we can give is to our Heavenly Father, that through Christ Jesus, his Son, he has made us his own. And so he has. Amen.